I'm Carlos Virgen, and this is The Storyline, produced by The Day in New London, Connecticut. The Day has launched a new weekly community newspaper called The Norwich Times. I spoke with The Times community editor, Lee Howard, about the new publication. So Lee, thank you for joining me this morning. How are you doing and how's life?
No problem. Happy to be here. Still playing tennis, although it's kind of windy today. But we live in a beautiful area in Waterford, and we're near the beaches. So there's always someplace interesting to walk. So that makes all the difference.
Yeah, that does make a big difference to be able to get out and enjoy some fresh air. So let's talk about your latest project, the new project at The Day that you're leading, the Norwich Times. Talk to me about how that came about and why now.
Well, I think we saw an opportunity out in Norwich where the bulletin that when I first got to The Day, literally 40 years ago, was a pretty strong operation, about as strong as The Day, has kind of receded to the point where they have very few reporters covering a huge territory. And it's sort of become a news desert out there. So our thought was, let's go in, let's give people a little bit more news, a little bit more information about what's going on in their city, hopefully some more advertising as well. And we're going out free to every household in the Norwich area. And that includes towns like Basra, Franklin, Griswold, Lisbon, Sprague, and Voluntown.
Great.
So it's a big operation. It's about 28,000 circulation paper. I'm doing it with a lot of freelance writers who have great backgrounds and really having a fun time with it.
So you mentioned the idea that Norwich has kind of lost some of its news coverage because of the Norwich Bulletin kind of contracting. How does this new project, the Norwich Times, differ from our usual coverage of Norwich with Claire Bissett?
Well, Claire does an amazing job covering the day-to-day news. I think what gets lost a little bit is that sort of low to the ground, you know, what's going on at the library, what's going on in the arts scene, what's going on with the local businesses coming in and out. She covers a lot of politics and that sort of thing, which needs to be covered, but we're trying to cover, you know, the sort of personal stories of what people are up to. And we also have some great columnists that are sort of doing kind of lifestyle stories, interesting slices of life, crazy, quirky things that, you know, are fun to read, but, you know, it's pretty hard to do when you're just trying to cover all the news in one particular city, which is, you know, a pretty good sized city,
right,
for one person to cover.
Yeah, it is a good sized city. How does the circulation of the Norwich Times compare to some of our other Times publications?
Well, I believe it's the biggest one by quite a margin. With the other papers I have in the Times fold, we have 8 different other papers, which go up and down the shoreline. And our biggest paper is probably the Lyme Times, which I think has somewhere north of 10,000 circulation. But the total circulation of those papers is a little less than 80,000. This is 28,000. So we're expanding our footprint in southeastern Connecticut by about a third.
And so that obviously is additional work for folks. We're not, like as you said, we're not relying necessarily on additional staff. We're relying on freelancers and yourself and other editors like Amanda Hutchinson. Can you talk a little bit about how you are going to juggle that additional work?
Well, Amanda and I had a little talk at the beginning of the year, and we set up our plans for the year. I was going to do a little bit more writing. She was going to be doing a little more layout. Well, with the addition of the Norwich paper, that means I got to do a lot more layout, and I got to do a lot more holding hands with the freelancers and coming up with story ideas and making photo assignments. So it is a significant increase, but Amanda and I are kind of a well-oiled machine at this point. The other papers don't exactly lay themselves out, but we kind of have a good rhythm going. And so, you know, we just felt like we could do it. I'm going to give up a little bit of my writing, but hopefully still keep my hand in it, which I enjoy very much. So, and maybe I'll be doing some more writing out in the Norwich area, which is great. I'm very familiar with Norwich. My son actually is going to be moving to Norwich in the next month or so.
Oh, great.
It's very exciting for me to have a sort of foothold in Norwich, because I do love that city. It's a city that has sort of, you know, time has sort of stood still in some ways. They didn't go through redevelopment like New London did. So they have a lot of their original architecture, which I find quite beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great, great downtown area, great city. My sister actually lives there, and my niece and my brother-in-law, so I'm familiar with Norwich. So are you going in with a stable of freelance writers, or are you still kind of trying to fill that out?
Yeah, actually, I think every one of my freelance writers that I've added is really a new addition to the Times brand. So we have a woman by the name of Jan Torme, who used to work for the Bulletin, I think, as a freelancer, and also some other publications and also radio stations. She also lived in Norwich for something like 20 years, so she's very familiar. Bill Stanley, who grew up in Norwich, is writing a column for us called Notably Norwich. He's just really a great writer and, of course, used to be a writer for the day and is now retiring from his position as a vice president at L&M Hospital. So he's got a little more time on his hands, great. So we're happy to have him. Kelly Congdon is a rather young writer who's just kind of coming into her own, and she's doing some features for us. Dale Plummer, who's the Norwich City historian, wrote a column for us. His column name is Norwich in a Nutshell, and he wrote this great column on these French soldiers who, rumor had it, were buried in Norwich, and he looked into that and was able to kind of solve the mystery of where these people came from. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that in the first edition. And then Kevin Gordon, who's a longtime radio guy, local lit radio guy, is writing for me as well. Everybody knows Kevin. He grew up in town and still lives there. And he wrote a story on Cafe Otis on Broadway, having closed and a new restaurant going in. And he also wrote a little feature on a Leffingwell House event involving Benedict Arnold's leg, which is returned annually to the good leg, the one that was given for the service of America, is delivered from Block Theater and I guess reburied in Norwich until they dig him up again next year.
That's great. So talking about that first issue, when will it hit mailboxes?
Well, we never know exactly.
So when does it go out?
It's officially out now, I believe. I believe some people are starting to get in their mailbox today, which is the end of September. The official publication date is October 1st. We officially publish on Thursdays, but a lot of times the mail is better than we expect, and it gets there. I know I get my Times paper here in Waterford on Wednesday, and I think a lot of other people do too. So, and there's tremendous excitement. Yeah. I mean, I've been posting on the Norwich community Facebook page site, and people are going, "I can't wait! You know, we really need this kind of thing out here." So people are, and I actually took a picture of the cover of our first Norwich Times and sort of posted it on Facebook, and everybody was giving a big thumbs up to that. So we're really looking forward to the reaction. And, you know, obviously this is a first. We have a tremendous number of stories in the first edition. Right. It's a 40-page edition. Wow. So that's a huge increase over what people are seeing in their coverage day to day, certainly in Norwich. So I think it's going to be a great hit. And I think people are really going to love the mix of we have, you know, a lot of features. The lead story is about Otis Library and its reopening plans after COVID. A really great story. And we have another feature on Ashlawn, which is a historic building in Sprague, which is part of a series we're doing on the three buildings in Sprague that are on the National Register of Historic Places. I already mentioned Dale Plummer's piece, Kevin Gordon's pieces. Lisa Shasha, who's a local writer, is writing a column for me called Literary Types, where she interviews John Manuel Andriotti, who's a very well-known Norwich writer. And Glenn Allen Chaney is a fabulous writer who lives out in Hanover, which is a little village in Sprague. And he wrote about First Fridays making a comeback in Norwich, finally moving outdoors and being, you know, reconstituted after the COVID hit. And he also writes a fabulous column called What the Dot Dot Dot. And he wrote about this NFA graduate who apparently became famous in some circles, isn't willing to give his name, but is now a recluse and, you know, just living a different life. So
that's
fascinating.
That's a great mix of stories. That's amazing, actually. So this is a community paper, really. How can the community get involved? What kind of information or stories or input are you looking for from the community? And how can they reach you?
Right. Well, you know, the usual briefs, calendar items, we put all that kind of stuff in. We're also looking for, you know, little news items, possibly. But we also have multiple ways of connecting with our readers now with the other Times papers. One of those is called Kindness in Real Life, where we invite people to write in about people who are volunteering and doing a great job in the community that maybe don't get noticed. We have another standing feature called Be an Angel, where if people need help with a certain situation that they're in, you know, they can ask for help through the newspaper. We have Pet Pal, where we ask people to, you know, write in about their favorite pet and send us a photo and a little story. And that's been a really popular feature for years and years at the Times. We also recently invited people to write poetry. I started noticing that more people seem to be really getting into poetry in the midst of the pandemic. You know, people are thinking maybe a little bit more deeply and getting tired of TV and other things, starting to turn off some of the electronics and walking around talking with people and, you know, kind of reconnecting. So poetry seems to be making a comeback, and I just threw it out there because somebody sent me a poem. And probably 2 years ago, I wouldn't have, you know, thought about doing it. But somehow right now,
it seems like a lot
of people are enjoying it. Yeah. So we're very flexible on what we do. We also have what's called Your Story, where people can write in commentary. I mean, very few newspapers have a sort of an open forum for people to, you know, write ideas, write, you know, maybe you want to start something in your town and you have no idea where to turn. Well, come to the Times paper and, you know, let's get something started. So,
fantastic.
I think we're trying to be part of the community conversation and in some cases, maybe even lead the conversation. It'd be it's sort of a positive, not necessarily a booster, but, you know, we're trying to find positive solutions to things that are going on in town. So we do like to.
I'm sure that's appreciated.
Yeah, we like to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, love to hear those positive stories.
And what's the easiest way to get a hold of you or anyone at the Times? Email address,
well,
maybe.
Available. Yeah, I'm available through my regular day address, which is l.howard, H-O-W-A-R-D, at theday.com. We also have a special Norwich Times address, which is l.howard at thenorwichtimesct.com. So those are two ways to get a hold of me. We love pictures. We love people to send us pictures. You know, you see something cool out in the neighborhood, just take a picture. Like, you know, let's not just post it on Facebook. I actually go on Facebook quite a bit and see interesting stories, and I'll say, send me that story, send me that picture. And, you know, people these days are, you know, the first thing they think about is social media. But, you know, what lasts longer, social media or something you can hold in your hand and a site like theday.com where, you know, 30 years from now, you're going to be able to look back and see in our archive that, you know, that story is there, and then you can share that with your grandchildren. So I think it's a really cool thing to be part of this.
This type of publication is really a community, a snapshot of the community at that point in time. So I think it's fantastic. How will you measure this a success? You personally, obviously, we're hoping to get some support from advertisers, but you as an editor.
Right. I always look to feedback from people. You know, people do, I think, even more than the day maybe get. I get notes all the time saying, I really appreciate this columnist. I really appreciate that story. You know, we're just here to sort of connect the dots of the community and give people a forum. I'm always amazed at all these different local organizations who have newsletters, like the Historical Society. They share their newsletters, you know, with their 100 people on their mailing list. Well, you could be sharing your information with literally 100,000 people through the Times. So I think it really expands people's reach. I mean, I would love to see this become even more, maybe even develop some sort of social media local social media through thetimes.com or theday.com. I'm not sure how that would work, but I do think it has a lot of resonance with people that, you know, we can obviously we want to, you know, make some money and keep this thing going. But we also want people to, you know, really feel like they're part of something. And it's not an exclusive product. It's not something like, you know, I know some people say it's hard to break down the barriers of, you know, between the news and the people that you're serving. But I think these papers are really meant to do that. I mean, we have something, Mike, I didn't mention this before, but Michael O'Farrell in this publication is writing a column on NFA News, Norwich Free Academy News. He sent us stories on the new head of school, the Martin Luther King scholarship people, the teacher of the year. We have that kind of stuff. Ken Keeley, who has wrote a memories, or he kind of posts a historical photo once a week. And he used to do that with the Bulletin. He's now doing that with us once a week. So we have a lot of different ways. And if you have an idea, you know, I would say run the idea by me. You know, I can't say I jump on every single idea that's sent me, but quite a few. I'll at least give it a try. And, you know, sometimes it takes off and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, we have fun with it. And, you know, we're not afraid to take risks. So we love people to be a part of it.
Well, fantastic. I mean, congratulations. I think this is a great effort. And as you mentioned, we're already getting really good feedback from readers in the area. Well, thank you very much for spending the morning with me, Lee. And hope that you can take some more lovely walks out by where you live once the weather gets a little bit better today.